I'd like to welcome to the studio Chris Hendry. Hi, Chris.
Delighted to be here with you, Neil.
It's great to have you here. I was going to say Chris is someone who's possibly a man who needs no introduction, but in actual fact, you've been here and there everywhere at the moment, so we will get you to go through some of that. But the real reason, I guess, I got you in here today was really to talk about the World From Here Live, which is a culmination of a few World From Heres.
Yeah. So it's the end of our first season, which could end up being our only season. But The World From Here has been a show at the streaming from the Canberra Theatre in this time when they can't have live shows. And it's kind of like a hosted tonight variety show with a range of different artists. And I'm pretty proud of the work we've done to date. We've had all sorts of interview guests from just people who live on the street to breath practitioners to elite athletes mm-hmm. to star performers. And it's all sort of, coming to a head this week. And we're finally back in the theatre and doing a live show. So it's something special for us to be able to have an audience again.
Yeah, I was actually seeing some parallels between what you do and what I do, which is conferring glory on me, of course. Where you go, start of the week, I come to the end of the week and go, I've got no one for next week. Then you get on the phone and see who you can rustle up, basically.
Yeah. Oh, of course, it's the panicked world of a producer when you're hosting your own event. It's very much been like that because this is the eighth week, and each week put so much energy and focus to the performance, production, direction, and even to some extent the promotion of each event. Not to mention the performing within it. That by the time the next week rolls out, and everyone at the theatre's like, okay, what do you got this week? a few hours of panic and I'll get back to you.
Yeah. Partly because, of course, sometimes the standard's been quite high and you sort of go, well, what can I do to lift it above that?
Yeah. Well, that's been a really nice part of it. I think, I'm not one to go back and look at my own works anyway, which is not a good trait, but I would be particularly loath to look at the first episode relative to the seventh, because I just know that they're improving each week as we learn all the small lessons of what it is to do a streaming show. I mean, originally I set out, I thought, okay, well, how do you adapt a live show to be filmed? Mm-hmm. Okay, it'll be more like a TV show. So I was going for that. But it turns out that that's quite different to what a live stream show is in terms of how an audience receives it and, of course, the production capacities that we have as well.
Yeah. So over the last few weeks, for those who actually missed out, who have they missed out on?
Oh, I mean, there must be 40-plus guests, so it's hard to reel off the top of my head. But I guess we've been exploring themes each week. So the first week was loneliness, which, of course, is pretty prescient in this time, mm-hmm. particularly for our Melbourne audience. We've explored eliteness, pleasure, exchange, just a whole bunch of themes mm-hmm. around things that I'm personally interested in. So to explore those each week, I've found different for example, on the topic of abundance was one week.
Yep.
We had in Dr. Happy, Dr. Tim Sharp, who's a Sydney psychologist who has for decades now had a practice and a public speaking and a podcast and public facing psychological practice where he looks at what do you need to have in your life to be happy and how can you better get that mix in your own life against what, sort of prevailing narratives around success and, finances and just the things that you normally hear, how to build community and things like that. So very interesting to hear from him. We had David Pocock was one of the standout interviews. I talked to him. He's the former Wallaby captain and, of course, an elite rugby player. He was talking about sort of flow states and, I guess, existential pleasure or spirituality, I guess, that he draws from the natural world. And that was really special to hear about. And I suppose a conversation you don't normally anticipate when you're interviewing a rugby player, which is of course, nice. And we had musical performances from Lucy Sugarman, the Burley Griffin, the Foul Mooies. I mean, even for the exchange episode, I went out on the streets and interviewed people to ask them if they could share one thing with other people that they wish that they understood about the world, what would it be? Mm-hmm. And I met a guy who, he was a Wiradjuri man, and he wanted to come on and play the didge. And I was like, oh, are you any good? And he's like, yeah, I'm excellent. And he came in and he was outstanding. Wow. So there's just space to play and things like that in the show. And it's been a really rewarding experience. And I think we're up to 20,000 views or something like that. So
it's terrific.
Yeah, it's been really good.
I guess one of the great things about it being a virtual show is your guests don't have to be here. They can be anywhere.
That was initially something that I loved. I've been getting lots of people from all around the world. I interviewed the head of Google's DeepMind, who's over in the UK. That's the AI program that they're mm-hmm. running. But I realized after a while that Zoom interviews aren't actually as compelling as in-person conversations, which I'm sure is something that you get when you do telephone interviews. It's even then a step further removed because you've got the latency of the technology. So, you know, you're a couple set. You know that phenomena that you get when you're talking to someone on an international call and you both start talking at the same time?
And, of course, the added pressure of actually having an audience for your interview.
Well, I mean, I don't mind that so much. It's just more that you can't interrupt your guest. And because your guest is continuously talking without being interrupted, they think they're meant to keep talking. So it's hard to build a natural rapport through that. So I actually stopped putting Zoom interviews in the show, even though some of our most compelling guests were through those interviews.
Okay. And, of course, it all changes this week because suddenly there's the live word appended to the whole thing.
Yeah, so live in two senses, live streaming and live in the theatre itself. So I think there are still tickets available. I haven't seen the numbers today, but it was getting pretty close. But yeah, it's going to be a really big show, and this is going to be I haven't announced the lineup yet, but I've got it here in front of me if you'd like to hear.
Sure, yeah.
So Tando Sikwilo is going to be coming in and singing. Tando's an incredible Zimbabwean, originally Canberran, but has been in Melbourne for the last few years. She's wonderful. She's singing. Chris Ryan's a comedian. She's also incredible. Halima Kyrgios is a musical theatre performer who's going to be coming in. Somebody who's, I'm sure, familiar to many of the listeners, Annie Vovjinchak, is going to be in talking about her upcoming book on the Canberra art scene, how local arts shaped Canberra. Mm-hmm. Frankie McNair is a clown who's going to be in. Nick Dladovic's in every episode. He's wonderful. And Hannah Quinlivan's artworks will be hanging on the walls. Yep. So it's a good lineup, and I'm really excited to.
Yeah, and you can book at the Canberra Theatre website, and it's a little, I was going to say contrived, isn't not quite the right word. It comes in sets of four, doesn't it? You've got to book a table of four.
Yes, because of the social distancing requirements, and you know so you have to book in a table of four. And I guess if that's a downside, one upside is that after the live show itself, there's going to be a musical performance between my band and some collaborators.
Brilliant.
Just live in the space, so it should be special.
Get in there if you can, while tickets are still available. We're talking with Chris Hendry on Arts Cafe. We'll be back in a moment after a small slice of Manu Chao from the album called La Radio Lina. This is Eora Care.
Ole.
Un día un volver a nacer. ¿Y ahora qué vamos a hacer? ¿Y ahora qué? ¿Y ahora qué vamos a hacer? ¿Y ahora qué? Oye, Kike, dime tú. Cada día es absurdo como un pozo al caer. Cada día yo grito a la luna mi cero. ¿Y ahora qué vamos a hacer? ¿Y ahora qué? Oye, Kike, dime tú. ¿Y ahora qué vamos a hacer? Cada día yo lucho para no decaer. Cada día me espanto de tanto rebuscar.
You're a calf from Manu Chao. We're talking with Chris Hendry on Arts Cafe, and I wanted to find out more about Chris's comings and goings. He's been here in Canberra for a long time, and then, hey, I'm moving to Melbourne. And then
you're good back. Timing, hey? Great timing. Yeah, I went down. So I actually grew up in Melbourne, but didn't want to go back.
That explains the Geelong tragic thing.
Yeah, yes. God, they're doing well. I mean, they lost it two out of the last three, but they're still looking good. I grew up in Melbourne. They have been here for many years, but my partner has a an environmental tech startup, and there's only so many people in the tech development world in the ACT, and they tend to get snaffled by government jobs, and so it's not the sort of entrepreneurial environment that she needs. So she went down there to test it out, and it has been going really well for her, and so I followed her. It's hard to mount the case of my my below minimum wage arts career is like untransferable to a large metropolis. Yeah. So yeah, I went down there in January and couldn't have timed it worse. Yeah. We spent the weekend looking at places to live here. So we may be moving back. We're both COVID free.
And I'm glad to hear that.
And I hope we will be welcomed back into the community. Yeah, it's a distressing time. Look, even just during this show, in the last 2 months, I've lived in 5 different places. So it's a stressful time, but, I'm very grateful to be here.
Yeah.
Extremely grateful. Yeah. Even if I have just the stuff that I packed for the initial 8 days that I was coming up.
I think, I know a few other people from Melbourne who are probably starting to work their way through their clothes by now going, there's all this stuff that I'm just not going to access for a while.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, all of my instruments, all my clothes, all my everything. Yeah, everything. I'm sure my herb garden's well and truly dead.
There's been some rain, but yeah, appreciate that.
Yeah.
So after the world from here, what happens next?
I don't know. I'm not sure what the theatre itself is going to be doing, or if they're interested in, if there's any proof of concept in the show we've been doing. But I put in for an arts grant last week to hopefully do a bit of creative production work. I'm really interested in helping other people make things and collaboration and making things that wouldn't otherwise get to exist across a whole range of disciplines.
Yeah.
Whether obviously I play music, but I'm also interested in theatre and musical theatre and visual arts. So I don't know. I'd like to work with all the wonderful people that are here while I've got the opportunity. But
so I guess if anyone's out there who's got some ideas, get in touch with Chris.
Yeah, please. Especially if you're the type of person who thinks that it's not welcome to get in touch. that's always a good sign that you should do it. Yeah. In my ideal world, I did some work earlier this year with APRA, where they got me and a couple other producers to work with some emerging songwriters to create and record works in very tight periods of time. Mm-hmm. You just meet each other and then 3 hours later you have to present your recorded work.
Yeah.
And I loved it. I love, just chasing down the realms of what's possible and the problem solving of making that good. So, yeah, in my ideal world, I've set up in the Content Keeper building on Northbourne, because it's a beautiful building and it's empty, and have like a creative production practice where people who want to create stuff at a higher standard work with me to, really push themselves to make whatever it is their existing works, more elite. Because sometimes you do need just that outside voice to do it.
Of course, yeah. And right now, with at least in Canberra, the green shoots of things just opening up here and there.
Yeah.
Maybe a great time for this.
Yeah, maybe. Like, it's, we're all, it's extremely volatile. So it's, we're only one family coming back from Sydney by mistake or something like that, away from, everything being shut down again, which is, I'm sorry to say, because it's all a depressing reality. But I'm not really sure. Through this period, but particularly prior to coming up here and having meaningful work to do with the theatre again, the despair was pretty heavy, and I started looking at stuff is, I'm just going to join the Navy or something. I don't know, just things I would never otherwise consider doing, because the insecurity is so punishing, and that the lost sense of place that you often experience as an artist, struggling to find a fora for expressing your works, or which are of yourself if you're doing a good job. I think it can be really invalidating. So, and there's an emotional toll and there's a financial toll that comes with that. So I don't know. I don't know what next. Like, I'm flying high at the moment because I'm really enjoying doing this show and having the opportunity to create and share things, but without that, I'm not really sure what the next steps will be.
Yeah, okay. Well, I guess the takeaway, if there is one from this, is if you've got something interesting, get in touch with Chris.
Yeah, please do. I'd love to. I've got capacity coming up.
That's great. Thank you for coming in and talking with us today. It's been terrific.
Thanks for having me.
My pleasure.
Love the music.